first quarterly meeting of the Board of Regents. Welcome, everybody. I will first call for the roll call from Regent Dennison.
Regent Bale?
Present.
Regent Roddy?
Present.
Regent Hammond?
Present.
Regent Hill?
Here.
Regent Milligan?
Here.
Regent Nichols? Regent Spiller?
Present.
Vice Chair Thomas?
Regent Patterson? Present.
Chair West?
Present.
Regent Robinson? So that, we have nine regents present.
CJ's on.
Is she on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we have 10.
All right, thank you. First order of business is we want to approve the minutes. Has everybody had an opportunity to look at the minutes? And does anybody have any questions or any changes to the minutes? If not, I will ask for a motion to approve the minutes from the fourth quarterly meeting, which was in December 25.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, minutes are approved. And our first committee is Academic Affairs, and that is Regent Hill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have three different things we want to address. The first is the consent agenda, which we went through at the committee meeting. It's action item 1 through 12, which we all heard, like I said, at the previous committee meeting. So could get a motion on approval of the consent agenda.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Consent agenda passes. The second item is approval of University Distinguished Professor Recommendation.
Yeah, it's a huge pleasure to have two outstanding faculty members with us today who will receive today, hopefully, what would be considered to be the top award on this campus, which is to become a University Distinguished Professor. They're both with us today. The first is Monica Burke, who has been here for 27 years with WKU. And when you look at her here, she's had achievements in teaching, scholarship, leadership, and service. An award-winning educator, she is nationally recognized for inclusive, innovative pedagogy and for transformative leadership in faculty and staff development through initiatives such as Inclusive Teaching Academy, 1WKU, and CITL, and way more than that. And I'd like to give her an opportunity to talk today.
So I had to write it down. Chair, members of the board, and colleagues, I stand here today in awe of this honor and in deep appreciation for the opportunities and investments that shape my path. No career unfolds in isolation. Mine certainly did not. I have been fortunate to learn from my family, mentors who challenged me, colleagues who sharpened my thinking, and students who continually remind me why this work matters. Whatever I have achieved in teaching, research, or service rests on a foundation built by my family and others who believed in me and the value of investing their time, trust, and care. I often say that we repay for the good things in our lives by investing in someone else's. That belief has guided my work, whether mentoring students toward research and doctoral study, supporting faculty development, or contributing to our campus community. I have tried to see each role as an opportunity to extend the investment that was once made in me. This recognition is deeply humbling, not because it marks an endpoint, but because it renews my responsibility to teach with care, to pursue scholarship with integrity, to continue to serve the university with thoughtfulness and resolution, and to keep investing in others so that the work that we do here continues to grow beyond any one of us. Thank you for this extraordinary honor.
The second person for University Distinguished Professor is Dr. Janet Tassel. The record of scholarly achievement places her among the most accomplished researchers in mathematics education and gifted education nationally. Her work has profoundly advanced knowledge at the intersection of mathematics education, gifted education, and educational technology, with a sustained and influential research agenda spanning nearly two decades. She is one of the most prolific contributors in her field with nearly 100 publications, including articles in top-tier international journals, 10 peer-reviewed books with leading publishers such as Springer, and extensive contributions to major conference proceedings. In addition, she has had huge success in extramural funding, and it's all that is the package that's put together as to why she is honored to be a University Distinguished Professor. Would you like to say a few words?
Receiving the University Distinguished Professor Award from a place that has shaped so much of my life and career is both humbling and deeply meaningful. I grew up in Stendal, a town of 200 people in Indiana, and as John Mellencamp saying, I really was raised in a small town where school, community, and church were the center of everything. My dad taught me in part through memorizing his favorite poem by Norton Jester that said, somebody said it couldn't be done, but he with a chuckle replied, maybe it couldn't, but he would be one who wouldn't say so till he tried. That spirit of possibility has guided me my whole life. I came to Western Kentucky University in 2008 as an Indiana Hoosier, carrying with me that belief that education changes lives and that we are responsible for lifting one another up. Over these 18 years, WKU has been more than a workplace. It has become my home. I may have arrived a Hoosier, but I have grown into a proud WKU Hilltopper. To my current and former students, thank you for trusting me with your stories, your questions, and sometimes your math anxiety. To my colleagues and mentors, thank you for your collaboration and your willingness to dream big on behalf of our university and our profession. And to my family and friends, thank you for your unwavering support, encouragement, and belief in me. I was formed in a tradition that calls us to be never daunted, to never falter, and that spirit has carried me through challenges in the classroom, in research, and in leadership. Today, I accept this award not as a culmination, but as a charge to continue the work with that same determination, curiosity, and care. Together as Hilltoppers, we have the privilege and the responsibility to shape futures on the Hill every single day. Thank you, and go Tops!
So I did it backwards, nothing new for me. I would ask for approval of the University Distinguished Professor and appointment.
Or it's kind of hard to say no now.
I would claim it would be hard to say no before that, too. For Dr. Monica Burke, Professor of Counseling and Student Affairs, and Dr. Janet Tassel, Professor of Teacher Education.
So moved.
Motion. Is there a second? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Congratulations.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Item of approval, Emeritus.
Yes. I would like to put forward, let me make sure I get the right number, 5 people or faculty for emeritus appointments. All well deserving, and we have 2 with us today and another who wrote us a response. I will read things about them. You have already seen a lot of it. I would ask for approval for emeritus faculty.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So I'd like to tell you a little bit about them at this point. I'm thinking that's the better way to do it. Dr. Mark Robinson spent 34 years of service with WKU. He is a beloved teacher and astute mathematician, but he's also a role model of patience and diligence. During his career on the Hill, he served as interim department head of mathematics and assistant department head. In his last years, he took on the job that nobody wants, which is the daunting job of scheduling mathematics classes for students on this campus. And if you know anything, everybody takes math on this campus, so that's a job nobody wants. But he did a great job at it, and he made huge contributions to the math department. And please, would you like to say a word?
Yes, please. Yeah, thank you. Well, prior to my retirement last July, I spent 34 very rewarding years working in the mathematics department here at WKU. And it's very fulfilling to reflect upon my meaningful experiences in teaching, research, and service, and working with my colleagues and students over these years. I'm most appreciative to my mathematics department colleagues, Department Chair Kenita DePlue, Dean David Brown, and the Board of Regents for the award of emeritus status, and look forward to continuing to contribute to WKU in this role for years to come. Thank you.
Dr. May served with distinction from 1996 through his retirement in 2024. He was an exceptional teacher and mentor, guiding multiple students in the geological sciences program in the classroom and beyond. He was an accomplished researcher with 61 peer-reviewed publications during his career on campus, and he was the go-to guy in that department if you had questions if you were a student. And with that, I'd like to offer you an opportunity.
Sure. Usually people wanted to know if they had a meteor right. They never did. We call them meteor wrongs. So, to the board, I would like to say, you know, it's hard to believe 2026 marks 30 years. My wife and two little toddler boys came to Bowling Green. They grew up here. It's been an adventure. WKU has provided a platform for me to engage students and my professional development, many aspects of being a professional geologist. I've witnessed a lot of changes. We see them now at WKU, a lot of growth. And I feel privileged that I was able to excite students in what you might call earth appreciation classes, but not appreciated by some. There was always some challenges. I've been happy to be a part of a geology faculty team that over the years that I've been here have produced over a dozen PhD earners from our undergraduate student pool, and many master's thesis. Coaching and encouraging students has been fun and rewarding. I've enjoyed directing a number of MS theses myself in geoscience, and I look forward to continuing in this vein where I'm on campus to help students that continue getting master's degrees here. I continue coaching and mentoring students regarding careers in energy, environment, and sustainability in a rapidly changing world. After all, good planets are hard to find.
The next person is Dr. Kelly McDowell. She served with distinction for 26 years at Western Kentucky University. She was an astute scientist with a strong research record that was complemented by a reputation as a caring and dedicated educator. She was particularly known for her leadership. She served as the elected chair of the Faculty Senate and interim dean of graduate studies and research. She made considerable strides in policy development and enforcement while in that role. And additionally, she played a pivotal role in the creation of the Department of Psychological Sciences and led that department for over 8 years. And it's with my pleasure that Kelly McDowell will become an emeritus professor. Next is Dr. Lance Hahn. Served the university for 19 years. He played a significant role in the formation of the Department of Psychological Sciences. Now you know the two that drove it. He served as a local expert in the application of computing and data analysis, not only in psychological sciences, but in social and behavioral sciences more generally. He taught and mentored many students during his years at WKU, and importantly was a source of industry connections. And I'd like to thank both of them. And last, Dr. Patricia DeRozier joined WKU full-time in 2006 as an assistant professor in what would be social work. Dr. DeRozier has led many leadership positions in social work. She served as the MSW coordinator, the interim BSW coordinator, and the chair of DSW from 2018 until she retired. Dr. DeRozier has a strong history of service in leadership positions on local, state, and national boards, including serving as a site visitor for the Council of Social Work Education from 2017 to 2025, the Kentucky State President of the American Association of University Women, Board Chair of the Barron River Area Safe Space Board, and the President and past President of the Hope Harbor Board. She was not able to be here today, but she wrote something that she would like to say. She said, "I would like to express my heartfelt gratitude to the Board of Regents, Dean Basta, Dr. Grace Lardy, and my social work colleagues for this honor and recognition of my service at WKU. This award is a testament to the collaborative efforts of many brilliant mentors, colleagues, and students over the years, as no great achievements are completed in isolation. Working at WKU has been one of the joys of my life, and I look forward to contributing to the university mission as Professor Emeritus for years to come." And with that, and I have one information item that we constantly always bring you, which is the winners of the Gilman Awards came out. If you haven't seen it, we had 11 Gilman Award winners in the October application period. That was more than anybody else in the state of Kentucky, again, as usual. So we continue to do a great job, and OSD continues to do a great job. Thank you.
Thank you, Regent
Holm.
And then next we have Finance, Budget, and Audit Committee. Regent Lardy.
So we just have one consent agenda items, FBA 1 through 3. I'd entertain a motion that this consent agenda be approved.
Make a motion.
Motion by Regent Hale.
Second
by Regent Dennison. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That concludes Finance, Budget, and Audit.
Thank you. And now we are moving on to Executive Committee. And what we have been really looking forward to is an information item on the housing renderings. President Caboni.
Thank you, Chair West, and to the Regents. Today is an exciting day for our university as we unveil Elevate WKU. This is more than just a housing transformation. The work that we do over the coming years in multiple phases will change undergraduate education at this university, amplifying our living learning communities, elevating faculty, staff, and student engagement, and pushing us to the forefront of undergraduate education, not just in the Commonwealth, but in the region. And I'm really excited to welcome our partners to help walk us through phase one of Elevate WKU. Please help me welcome Jeffrey Rosetko from Gilbane, our development partner, and John Burse from Mackey Mitchell, our architectural partners, who are going to walk us through phase one of Elevate WKU. If you didn't get that.
Thank you.
I'm Jeffrey, and that's John. Thank you for having us today.
It's a pleasure to share the vision for this first phase, and I'm going to dive right in. This is going to be a tour that's going to have a lot of beautiful renderings and some plan drawings, and it's going to be a tour from the outside in and the inside out. And so this first view is really a bird's eye view that shows the proposed first phase. This is the corner of the Avenue of Champions and University Boulevard. This is the Avenue of Champions right here. This environment and the drawings that we're going to walk you through today, there are a lot of drivers that help shape it. First off, helping residents that call this place home form community at a variety of different scales. You'll see how that happens as we go through this presentation. It's also shaped to be a welcoming and approaching, inviting environment for students to call home. And then I would say the third driver is definitely connecting with the emotional, creating a setting that has wow factor to it. And I think when you think of the residence hall that has sat here for many generations, this design really attempts to define a dramatic gateway to campus. This is a portal that you'll walk through, and so it really helps to pay homage to the beautiful architecture and landscape here on campus. In particular, I think of buildings like Van Meter and Cherry Hall and so forth. So as a bird's eye view here, I'm going to pivot to a site plan. And this corner right here In the upper left is that portal, that gateway. It's literally an open-air gateway that will serve as a campus front door for pedestrians that will be entering onto campus. They'll be able to go through that into a series of outdoor spaces into this courtyard. And as I mentioned before, part of the secret sauce in making this building feel inviting and approachable is that you never see, when you're on the ground, all of the building at once. You always experience this building through a variety of outdoor spaces and courtyards as you move around it. But certainly from that experiential standpoint in defining this very important corner of your campus, this is the opportunity that will really create, we think, an iconographically powerful statement that should, you know, I mean, I can imagine here if you're visiting WKU for the first time and you understand this is going to be your home, this could be one of those threshold moments of falling in love with the notion of being a hilltopper for life. And so with this eye-level view into the sequence of outdoor spaces, you can see very clearly the homage that's being paid to your beautiful historic campus architecture here in this image. And so as I mentioned before, there are a series of outdoor courtyards that this building frames, and that's all intended to really make this feel approachable and inviting and welcoming. And so the first of these courtyards is really one that gets framed directly off of the Avenue of Champions. And nicely scaled, kind of Georgian-style buildings, part of what makes this really welcoming, inviting from a community standpoint is the building is broken up into a series of wings, so they become very house-like. And in this image, you can see three of those house-like forms defining this lovely outdoor space off of the Avenue of Champions. On the inside part of this new set of environs is a wonderful set of courtyards and experiences. This view is looking back to the portal, looking out to University Boulevard and the Avenue of Champions. You can see the cupola in that roofscape. And we're also looking alongside the main front door here that the residents that live here will use day to day. And so stepping back and seeing that there'll be a semicircular porch and a very grand arched window that really frames that and looks out onto this outdoor space. So you can imagine the day-to-day activity of folks moving through here, but then the magic of being able to depart for classes and come back to this home every day being really quite dramatic. And so I'm going to now zoom and kind of pivot to the floor plan and give a little bit of context. This is the ground floor plan. And so that entry porch that we were just talking about is right here at this corner. This is going to be kind of main and main every day. The main front door of the building. And as you come into this space, you'll be greeted by this great hall space that is intended to be a 24-hour study space, really the living room of this community. It's animated by having a component of dining here that'll offer a variety of different menus and options, and at the same time has the kind of service side of the building that backs up alongside that facing Preston. As you move north into the building, there'll be a main stair. We like to think of these as vertical main streets, right? But the main stair will be a social stair. It also has the main elevators right there. So coming into the secure point of this residence hall will really be, we think, a point of high activity and interaction. There's a laundry and as well offices in that zone. And the yellow here that you see here, this is lounge space that really rings these two sides of the buildings. Office space, staff apartments, and then there's a ground floor of two residential wings on the other side of the portal with a satellite front desk and kind of entry point. I know I just went through a lot of real estate in a hurry there. But I want to give a sense now of the environment that gets created in this great hall space. And it's got a little bit of loftiness to it. We're able to, if you're familiar with that area, there's a little bit of a hill there, and we're able to use that hillside to create a space that looks like this. It is got a variety of seating in it. This is a place of study. It's a place of dining. It's a place that's animated throughout the day. It uses the warmth of wood-like finishes to create a home-like environment, one that we think will be, you know, really restorative and pleasant to spend time and dwell in. This particular view is looking between the arches that frame the center part of the space. The outboard sections here have very tall windows that are intended to bring in daylight and views. And at the same token, you can see that this is a terraced space. There's actually a ramp that links all the different levels. And what's magical about that is it offers residents some option in terms of where they feel most comfortable. We like to think of that notion as prospect and refuge. Some days you might feel the need for both. But you can get a little higher in the space here, have some privacy, or if you're feeling in a particular social mood, you can be in the middle of everything. And we think that variety is really, really important. As you move into the space here, this is a little bit closer in. There's obviously a very strong feature here, a hearth, fireplace. We see that element really being a very important social condenser. And you can imagine the conversations that are going to happen around here, around the clock, being also at the heart of creating memories and relationships that will endure a lifetime. Are you excited? All right, great. I'm going to kind of continue along the plan. As I touched on before, this space is sort of a necklace connecting a lot of the services. It's intended to be important touchdown space. It's behind the secure point of the building, but all the kinds of things that residents would need outside of that 24-hour space are located along these kind of passageways. Study spaces, laundry, and so forth. And then we really like to think about the life that these buildings have in the evening hours, knowing that students' lives are lived out around the clock. So this is that main entry point. As we look down this side of the building, this is the great hall space. So it'll really illuminate this important kind of pedestrian spine on campus. It'll be very lantern-like. And along that great hall space is a porch that will provide some shade and shelter and extend the kind of dining and lingering and lounge, collaboration, conversation space into the outdoors. You can imagine on an evening like tonight, if it doesn't get too cold, that this will be a sought-after destination. I'm going to go upstairs for a moment as we kind of conclude this tour. I would call this level a typical level. It is really shaped around community. Each one of these blocks or wings is an RA community. And that's expressed, as we saw in the outside renderings of the building. You can really read the social increment of that RA community. We think that's really important in terms of building relationships and building community. All of these RA communities have their own dedicated lounge space, and that becomes a nexus of community for those 30 some odd residents. They will build relationships around that space. The typical units that we see in each of those wings are predominantly what we call double semi-suites. In this case, this is two double bedrooms that share a connecting bathroom space. Each side has its own dedicated sink area and closets, and then the compartment itself for the actual double bedrooms. And then this connects through to a toilet compartment and shower as well. And then each wing will have two to three-ish single rooms that are distributed into each wing. So that's that, you know, when I was talking about community being formed at a variety of scales, this is the scale of roommate and pairs of roommates. And as we saw in this image, this is the scale of an RA community. There are important overlapping spaces that create community between different wings. There's a lounge that's set over that entryway. There's another one here. And then overlooking the portal, a set of two-story lounge spaces that are stacked. And these lounge spaces look a little bit like this. And you might ask, well, why might this be important? We have found in these two-story lounge spaces that it can be common in a building like this to be a lot of horizontal stratification. You know, are there opportunities to really meet the folks upstairs? And this kind of device really encourages that kind of social interaction. We just opened a building that has this at the University of Oklahoma, and the RD shared a story. This is fun. So I have a group of residents on floor 4 that have made it their mission to get to know everyone on their floor by name and everyone on the 5th floor by name. And, you know, that's a cohort of 240 people on those two floors. That's an amazing accomplishment in community building and enabled by space, encouraged by space. So that is an overview of the project. Jeffrey and I are delighted to be a part of your team.
Yeah, thanks, John. Thank you for the Mackey Mitchell team. Excuse me. For putting together the great presentation. And you know, I think the first thing I'd like to say is on behalf of Gilbain, the family-owned company, delighted to be here today, and we thank you for entrusting this project to us. It's really been a delightful experience. What you've seen today is a very collaborative process. I'd say, you know, thanks to your executive team, who's been just in 16 years of leading on-campus programs and developments, this team has really been the most collaborative and cohesive. I can't say how working with the provost, working with the CFO, working with the general counsel, you know, residence life, the president, everybody has been so wonderful to work with.
And engaged,
right? And so it's not often that you get all those levels of the executive committee. You know, what the product that you see here really truly is a team partnership effort. And that speaks volumes to what the building will be like when the students move in. We have always had the student at the forefront of what we do from day one. As soon as we got selected and walked onto campus, our mission was to develop the best building for the students of WKU that we could. So we've been very efficient in creating this plan. It looks beautiful, but it works very well. The systems that will be designed, all the components of the building, everything will be very thoughtfully put together, very efficiently done, in order to make sure that that building stands the test of time and responds to the needs of the students as they live in the building and enjoy all the spaces that you've seen. You saw the connectivity to the outdoors. You saw the purposeful positioning of the indoor spaces. Those are not by accident. The committee, the design team, those things are very important to how this building will work. The addition to the building of the dining component is going to be tremendous. The Great Hall, I think everybody will be really excited to come into that building and enjoy the Great Hall space. So again, we're so pleased to be working on the project, so delighted to have a wonderful executive committee. I thank all of you. You know, really has been a great process so far. And we are on track for a closing, and we're ready to go. You know, hopefully these images are what you all had envisioned when you started the process. And so, anyway, thanks again.
So I'm gonna frame this, and then we'll go to questions. Because what I want, go ahead.
Could you go back and show the room again, the student room? Dormitory space for better terminology.
One more. There it is.
Yes. Kind of go around that, if you would, and explain what we have there.
Sure. These are really two separate rooms that share a bathroom. And the rooms are entered.
So that's a four-student space.
Four-student space.
Yeah.
But two students will be sleeping in one room, two students sleeping in the other room.
Okay.
And these two rooms connect through this bathroom space. So this is a shared vestibule that has its own doors, privacy, you know, into the shower area. There's doors here and here. I think a big challenge in buildings like this is balancing the desire for privacy with the need for community. And so this is an arrangement that we've seen work on a lot of campuses. When you come into the unit itself, there's two closet spaces, you know, for each resident. And then there is a vanity with ample space on either side of the sink. And what's nice about this is that you don't have to wait for, you know, if that sink were in the bathroom, you'd really have to wait. And this allows a lot more flexibility around all the kind of activities that one would use the bathroom for. And then coming into the sleeping area here, you can see the two beds, a nice window looking out into those courtyards that we described, and then two desks on either side of that. Space for a refrigerator and microwave as well.
Thank you for that explanation. I'm sorry.
It's kind of a weird view, like looking bird's eye down into something like that, but we love it because it shows the furniture and it's kind of three-dimensional.
So, I want to kind of wrap up the presentation portion with you all have heard me say over and over during my tenure that we don't just replace buildings. We use the replacement opportunity to reconceptualize and reformulate what we're doing. We want them to be sticky. We want them to amplify the work that we're doing. So what I hope you saw, because I've challenged the provost by the fall of 2028, to have over 50% of our entering class as participants in a living learning community. And each one of those RA communities is also going to be a living learning community or some sub-segment of that with the same work that we had in Regents and Normal, so completing the idea of the first-year village. This gives us an opportunity to also think a little bit differently, more broadly, about living learning communities, how we deepen the engagement of faculty through this phase one of Elevate WKU. And the last thing I will say is this sets a new standard for what it means to live on the Hill. And this is going to be the standard that exists in perpetuity. And so with those comments, any questions you all have?
I have a question. If you can you go back to the floor plan for the first floor? I think I missed. Oh, wait.
You want me to stop?
No, go back to the first floor, yeah. I think I missed what one thing was. Okay, so I know, that's a great hall, that's dining, but what's the one up here, that wing? No, on the right side.
Over here.
Yeah, I know that's dining, but what's that above there?
Refrigeration.
Up here is really back of house support space for dining, public restrooms, and then mechanical space.
Okay.
Yeah. And what's the capacity at this point?
Capacity of what?
The whole facility, this dorm.
Just over 1,000 beds, 1,000 students.
I like the design. I like your aspect of recognizing the importance of connectedness and social. We're reading a lot today about the loneliness epidemic and how important socialization is and how dastardly these phones are to that. And I don't know how you do anything about this, but is there anybody in your field that's giving thought to having dead-free phone spaces where people would have to socialize, being forced to interact with another human being?
Yeah, no, and I'm so happy you asked that question. It's something that we spend a lot of time thinking about, uh-huh. And with all the possibilities of AI, that's a whole nother dimension to it around the student mental health side that should give us all pause. One of the most amazing things that we've seen in our spaces in recent years is that you come into these common areas, the lounges, the study halls, and we see students playing board games. One of the projects that we just finished, there's bingo night in the main living room, 5 nights a week. And so you come into a space like that and students aren't on the phone, they're actually interacting and building those social skills, those interpersonal skills, you know, that are so critically important and still, you know, honing across these crucial years. I think that for a building like this, it's getting that balance of social space just exactly right and allowing a student the opportunity to retreat when she or he or she needs a moment to reflect and to find space to do that, as well as space to come together. Probably one of the most profound transformations that we've seen in a project that we've done is at Penn State, where we've renovated 14 buildings from the 1960s. And these were very stark buildings that had a lack of any social space whatsoever. At the end of every first semester, residential life at Penn State would get, this is a community of about 4,000 residents, by the way, they would get several hundred roommate request changes or requests to live somewhere else on campus. And in the completion of that, we were able to bring that down by about 80%. So, you know, that was intentional, putting social spaces in there that bring people together, but as well allow people space to retreat. I'm not saying that this is the panacea, but I am saying that this is part of, I think, the host of things that can begin to compete against the phone and at the same time, you know, help students build those social skills that they'll need, you know.
Yeah, when our grandchildren come for a visitor to have supper, the phones go in the basket. And it'd be interesting if you had a space, one dedicated space where the phone stayed out and probably nobody would go to that. But it would be interesting where if they were in it, they had to be talking to their fellow beings.
I'll echo John's, you know, in the design, development, and collaboration working through this, certainly the thought of the collisions that happen between the students, the central elevator core, right? You think, oh man, you know, what is it like to have that central elevator, that central laundry? It provides a chance for these students, a lot of students, to run into students that they might not see if they were living in a small residence hall. They walk in, they see somebody wearing a football shirt of a team that, oh, you know, I grew up in Pennsylvania, you know, I remember, you know, this team or that team. And it's exciting to give the students a chance to meet one another. Hey, let's have coffee, let's have lunch, you know, let's play a board game, and what floor are you on, and that sort of thing. And I think that's one of the advantages of this, the building as it's laid out with the central area, the wings. It gives the students in each wing their own sense of community, but yet they're a part of a larger community, right? So you break down the entire university, everybody who lives on campus, everybody who lives in this hall. And I think we've done a really good job at creating those interior-exterior spaces for that interaction as much as we can to make sure that students get to know each other.
We conducted a series of focus groups with students, and what we hear them say overwhelmingly is that they desire that community space that we created here.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm curious about the sound barrier in the bedroom in their dorms. I see that they share the same bathroom, but what about the sound barrier within the room?
Sure.
Is that pretty sound?
It will be designed to a sound transmission level that will isolate in the best way possible. You know, unless somebody's like rocking out at, you know, they've turned it up to 11, if you know what I mean. But there's a sound transmission level that we designed to help provide acoustical privacy between the units. Very good question. And as well between floors. This will be a grade of construction that will lend itself to between level floor sound isolation.
What will move in day and move out day? I mean, where are they going to park? Where are they going to unload?
Yeah.
That's a great question. So we actually are working on a series of diagrams right now to identify how that works. I think there are a number of pathways that have been designed to hold fire trucks per working with the local fire marshal. And it's potential that some of those pathways could be used sparingly on move-in and move-out day. in order to help with that traffic flow. I don't think we've exactly figured it out yet, but we are thinking about it, and there will be a number of diagrams that we'll work through with HRL and the rest of the team to try to feel like we've thought about the major components to move in and move out there. Luckily, the building at six stories most of it is accessible from the upper floors, you know, with the stairwells. So on move-in and move-out day, obviously, you'll have a lot of people using the elevators, but you'll also be able to sort of use those stairways to get out of the building and move around the building when there are a lot of people in the facility. So, yes, it is a really good question, and it's something that we'll have thoroughly analyzed.
I guess you could also stagger, or I don't know if you all already do that, the days and times, too.
Yes, we do that. So with a building this size, we would stagger it. So we do that already.
Parents have an appointment window.
Yes. They have move-in slots.
Welcome to campus between 8 and 11.
8:15, 8:17.
So for a sense of scale, is everything to scale there? So Pierceport Tower, that's what it looks like relative to that building?
That's correct.
Shall we work Pierceport Tower?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. For now. Just a little while longer.
Great presentation. Yeah. I love your design.
Yeah. It's very, very nice.
I want to thank both John and Jeffrey, just tremendous partners in this, to the board. As we talked about what we wanted to accomplish together with a new set of partners, is to make this a transformative opportunity for the institution. And what you've seen is what you get when you bring in the best in the country that have tens of thousands of beds under management, have worked at the best institutions that this nation has. And that's the expectation going forward, that in this partnership, which will be a 40, 50, 60-year partnership as we continue to work through multiple phases, they are the best in the business, and I'm thankful for the work that they've done, the collaborative way they've worked together with the leadership team, and to the leadership team, who has invested 9 months of their lives in this effort, thank you as well. This could not have happened without the investment of time, effort, energy, and creativity that you all have put into this. And what we've wound up with as an institution is a transformative project that will absolutely elevate WKU.
And it's great to hear that you all have enjoyed working with all of you.
It's been a joy.
Yeah.
They certainly have been
good.
Madam Chair, that's the end of the information item.
All right. Thank you. Does anybody have any other new items of business? There being none, then we are adjourned.